Open our Bibles to Romans chapter 9. We have been talking about the principles of the kingdom, and we've been going through those, and they are what? Anybody remember? Knowledge, self-control, virtue, right? Love. Love is the last one that we ended on. And we've been talking, last week we talked about the love of God, or the week before John preached, we talked about the love of God. And these principles in 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about gaining entrance into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two different places. The kingdom of God is right here, right now. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So when we get these principles working, they get the kingdom advancing and working in our lives. And God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles, right? And it's important to understand that when, in our walk with the Lord, that we understand these principles, because we want this kingdom advancing in our lives, in our children's lives, in our church, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are. So it takes these principles to get this kingdom moving. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So this kingdom is priority. So now, today we're going to go into Romans 9, and we're going to talk about, and last time I shared with you that in 1 Corinthians, it talks about, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about when Jesus was crucified, it says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known the wisdom of God. Right? Remember that? So in other words, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Why? How did he defeat the enemy? With his love, right? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, on the cross. And so, they didn't understand that love. Had they understood that love, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. When we don't understand God's love, it can be self-destruction. We'll end up not forgiving someone. We'll end up getting offended. We'll end up getting bitter and discouraged. And it's a self-destructive lifestyle. And how did God defeat Satan? He defeated Satan through what Satan didn't know. What he didn't understand. So what we don't know can hurt us. Amen? And so it's important that you and I gain and grow in knowledge and understanding of who we are and these principles of the kingdom of God. Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. So it's important that we get these principles and this understanding. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Who what? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So God wants, I'm just laying some groundwork. God wants to show us things our eyes haven't seen. Let us hear things our ears haven't heard, his voice. And things are going to come into our heart that haven't come into our heart yet. How? He's prepared for those who love him. So it's our love for him is what's going to get us to see those things that he's prepared. It's as we keep loving him, regardless of what's happening out here, God is going to continue to reveal things to us by his Spirit. Remember, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that we should walk in them. God had a plan and purpose before you were even born. And it says that he reveals them by the Spirit. Remember, reveal as an artist uncovers his masterpiece. We are all God's masterpieces. That word workmanship means masterpiece. God wants to uncover your life to you and show you those things your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, haven't entered your heart yet, as you love him. But if you allow anything to get between you and him because of not understanding and the wisdom of God, then it can abort the purpose of God in your life. And that's what we're here to talk about today, is the purpose of God. And it's all about His purpose. It's all about Him, and it's not about us and what we want. It's about His purpose. And that's where you're going to be fulfilled. It says that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. See, it was all given to us before time began. Right? He had it all planned, figured out. And as we love Him, it just starts to unfold in our life. And we get to experience the blessing and benefit of it. You see that? If we're in a hut in Haiti, if we are in His purpose, oh man, we're going to be jumping up and down to get up in the morning. It's going to be joyful. You see that? If we are in His purpose, no matter where it's at, there's going to be fulfillment and there's going to be joy. Because that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And in His purpose, folks, that's what we're all looking for. Our misery comes when we're not in that. When we're not in pursuit of that. It's not unfolding. So it's key. Key is this love for God. Are we making sense? Go with me to Romans chapter 9. Laying a little groundwork. I want you to understand this. I shared some of this in our class on Wednesday night, and the Lord impressed upon me to bring it to Sunday morning. Okay. Let's look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. You'll all stand with me. For He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills, he hardens. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this gathering. We thank you, Father, for everyone that's here today. We ask, Lord, that you open our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Lord, you said that all Scripture has been inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the men and women of God may be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. Father, prepare us for that good work. Help us to receive that which will equip us to fulfill our purpose in this life and the call on our life. Father, we thank you for it, and we are going to give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. Now let's look at this. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. That right there is, he's speaking of his sovereignty. God is sovereign. He says, I'm going to have mercy and compassion on whoever I want to. You know, I'm going to forgive those, whoever I want to. I'm God and God alone. Who can you compare with God, right? You can't compare anybody or anything with God. He's God and He's God alone. He said, I alone am God, and beside me there is no other God. He is God. Aren't you glad about that? That He's God and He's God alone. And He doesn't have to ask anybody. He doesn't have to go get approval. He just does what He wants to do. Amen? Because He's God. Just like the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Remember the religious folks? They had scripture. They had everything ready to get her stoned, right? To do her in, right? But when they took her to the judge of the universe, what happened? he pardoned her. Caught in the act, and he pardoned her. That's because he's God. You see, he's God and he's God alone. Isn't that good news? It's something when you forgive somebody that's not guilty. But when somebody's caught in the act and you pardon them, he's God and he's God alone. Amen? Isn't that good news? He's love. That's right. He is love. And that's the way we're to be. We're to be like God. We're to be imitators of God. We're to be imitators. It says, be ye imitators of God. Walk in love. That's what we're to be. And so we got to grow in our understanding of this sovereignty of God. And as we do, it helps us. It helps us fulfill that purpose that God has created us for. Now let's look at this. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. He's a merciful God, isn't he? No matter what walk of life you've come from, he has the power to forgive anything you've ever done. He holds that power. And he will forgive somebody, a murderer. He'll forgive an adult, fornicator. He'll forgive a prostitute and cause you to have to listen to him and put his anointing on their words. He chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world to put to shame the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, that's the whole idea, that we don't get any glory. It's all about him, right? And he will anoint who he wants. It's not about our education. It's not about what we look like. It's not about any of that. That's not the reason he chose you. He chose you because he wanted you. Amen? Isn't that good news? That's good news. Now I want you to listen to this next verse. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. For this very purpose I have raised you up. Who's he talking about there? No, he's not talking about us. He's talking about Pharaoh. That's good, Chris. He's talking about Pharaoh. Who was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was king of Egypt. He was a taskmaster. He was evil and corrupt and wicked. He says, for this purpose I have raised you up. Isn't that something to think about? That God raised up Pharaoh? Why? To show his power. To show his power. Pharaoh is a type of Satan in the Old Testament. People have this idea that it's God versus Satan. Light and dark are fighting. That's not really what's going on. God is in control, folks. Are you with me? God knows what's going on. He is in control. He's allowing these things to get you into your purpose. He's allowing all that's going on this planet right now because what Lee read, heaven is going to be on earth one day. And the lion is going to lay down with the lamb, and the little boy will lead them. The viper, you're going to be playing with snakes. There's not going to be chaos and confusion anymore. The knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth. That's what's coming. It's not that we're going to go to heaven and everybody fly around and just praise God forever like angels. No, you're going to have a new body. You're going to be on. We're going to rule this earth one day. That's the coming of the Lord. That's what we have to look forward to. See, a lot of us don't understand. We think we're just going to go to heaven. Folks, there's much more to that. But he's getting us into our purpose now so we can advance that kingdom and we can get more into that kingdom. Are you with me? And when we understand that, and we understand this love that God has for us, folks, we can love people. That's one of the biggest problems in the church today. They're not really loving people. People getting hurt and offended, they leave and they don't come back to church. Folks, if you get hurt in church, you need to get back in church. Run to church, because God has a word for you to bring you out of that. And you get some understanding of who you are so you can keep loving Him. Don't let anything get between you and God, because that's where your plan and purpose is going to unfold. He will put people in your life to make you miserable. He'll raise them up to get you into your purpose, to get you to go into your prayer closet, to get you to have a talk with Him in the bathroom at work. He'll raise people up and put them in your life to get you to go to Him. Am I making sense? That's what it's all about. He'll put somebody in authority over you that you think they have been sent from hell. But God raised them up to get you to go to Him, to get you into His purpose. Not your purpose, into His purpose. And to teach you some principles of His kingdom. But what happens is we go into rebellion and we go into, we just begin to rebel. And we get hurt and we don't understand what's really going on. But you see, when you love Him, you can't get upset and stay mad, can you? You can't get hurt and get your eyes on yourself. That's religion. That's religion right there. Churches are full of that. Sunday morning's the most segregated place on earth. Folks, there should be all kinds of people in this church. All kind of walks, educated, not educated. Homosexuals, lesbians, drunks, drug addicts, we want them all in here. Because we know that we got the love of God that's going to help them get into their purpose. And they'll see the plan and purpose of God unfold in their life. We're going to love them. Let me hear an amen. It don't matter where you come from. That's not why God chooses you. Right? We got that settled at the beginning. He's God, right? Tell you what, this is just good preaching. Not because I'm doing it. This is the Word of God. Am I making sense? God will raise up somebody. It may be a spouse that's hard to live with. It may be a boss. It may be someone. The one that's given you the most trouble has come to help you get into your purpose. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Believe in church. We're not here to make you a good Methodist or a good Baptist or a good Pentecostal. It's all about a child of God, right? We're building God's church. According to His Word. Not going to be into those religious names up there. Those, right? Those denominational names are not going to be there when we get into heaven, is there? All right? So we're starting here now on earth. Let's look at this. Let's look at verse 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice. For the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field. For the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For He has given you the former rain faithfully, and He will cause the rain to come down for you. Now that word rain, it means pinpointed, directed as an arrow. And remember we talked about in Hosea 10:12 that he reigns righteous. There's going to be a reign on the righteous. And that's the same reign. This reign is, in other words, he's got people pinpointed out. It's going to be a spotted reign. It's not going to fall on everybody. But this reign is going to fall on those who are seeking God with all their heart. And it's going to cause you to grow in areas where others aren't. It's going to cause you to continue to produce fruit in your life because he's got you pinpointed out. That rain is going to fall on you as you seek him and his righteousness. Now look at this. 24. And the latter rain is in the first month, the threshing floors shall be full of wheat. That means you're going to be provided for. That means you're going to be provided for. And the vat shall overflow with new wine. And look what it says. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Who sent it? God sent it. The locust, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, eating up the crops. You're not, you know, he sent it. That's what we got to understand. God is going to, he'll keep sending that stuff until you get into your purpose. Until you get into that purpose that God has created you for, he is going to keep, allow those locusts to keep eating. He's going to keep sending those things because it's to get you into your purpose. And he is not going to restore until you get into your purpose. See, this is restoration here. When you get into your purpose, then the restoration begins. It's not going to just happen, oh, we're all, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to be restored and everything's going to, no. When you get into your purpose and you begin to understand and you're pursuing God, this rain is going to fall on your life. This pinpointed rain, this spotted rain is going to fall on you to make you thirsty and quench your thirst and cause you to grow and to pursue God and get into their purpose. Am I making sense? And God says, I sent the locusts. It was me that sent them. Not the devil. We always want to blame the devil or blame somebody else. But folks, most of the time, it's God just allowing it to happen. Am I making sense? When we don't tithe and we're not, the principles of God aren't a priority in our life, folks, the locusts are going to come. But when we're in pursuit of God and his righteousness and his purpose first in our life, we're going to be restored. And that word restored means to bring back to the original condition. And that's what God wants to do. What Lee read, that's the original condition. Harmony on earth. Harmony on earth. That's the original condition. That's what God's going to do. He's restoring us now as we get into that purpose. And ultimately, it's going to be harmony on earth. In harmony with God. That's peace. No sour notes. No, it's all in harmony. No animals eating animals. We won't even have to eat animals. They don't talk about eating animals in the Bible. Before the fall. Did you catch that? Before the fall. That's where God's taking us back to. He's restoring us. He wants to restore us. And as we get into that purpose, it begins to unfold as we love him. And we have to have a mindset that we're not going to let anything get between us and God. And we're going to let God be our vindicator. Right? We're going to let God be our vindicator. We don't have to get the last word. We don't have to be the one who shows that I'm right and you're wrong. We don't have those kind of rights. God will take care of it. And that's what he wants. He wants you to trust him. And that's your love for him saying, I love you so much, I know you're going to handle this. I've tasted this, folks. I've been under authority that you don't want to be under. And it did. It helped me grow in Christ. It helped me grow in Christ. But I still got a lot of growing to go. And I know there's going to be some more stuff come. We're in a church now, right? And this is what this is breeding ground right here. Now let's look at this. So we know that God will send things in our life that aren't always pleasant. Good word, Kelly. To get you into your purpose. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. This is so important to understand. You know, this love that we've been talking about, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the agape love. Folks, that word keep in Jude, it means to guard, shield, and protect. That's for your benefit. See, that's the wisdom of God. When you love people that are doing you wrong and are coming against you, that's God working through you. And He empowers you then, see? He gives you His anointing in your life and advances you in His kingdom when you keep on loving people that are coming against you. This is big in the hour that we're living in. Because what did He say? He said in Matthew 24, He said that the love of God is going to grow cold, right? And many will betray one another and hate one another. Remember 1 John 3:15, if you have hatred in your heart, eternal life does not abide in you. So that's why it's important that we guard this love. And we understand that these people that are in our life now that we think the devil has sent from hell, God is allowing them to help us to get in our purpose. Man, that's important to understand that. Let's look at this. Okay. We're going to look at Hannah. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and I'll let you have that one, the priests of the Lord were there. And whenever the time came for, I'll let you have that one too, to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. For he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, some of yours says adversary, and her rival or adversary provoked her severely, or some of yours says sorely, to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, Hannah had children. Peninnah had children. Hannah had no children. Hannah's womb, the Lord closed it up as though she couldn't have children. Peninnah provoked her and was an adversary, would say, look, I got children, you don't have any. Provoke her. The only reason for Peninnah in Hannah's life in this story is to provoke her and to make her miserable. That's the only reason. Do you know what happened? Continue reading the story later on today. Hannah began to pray and began to seek God. And she gave birth to Samuel. And he defeated the nations. Are you with me? If Hannah would have got mad and upset, she would have never been a part of the purpose of God. God is about to birth something in your life. Get you into your purpose. And He's using the very thing you thought that was making you miserable. He wants to use that. But He's saying, you need to come to Me and seek Me and pray to Me. And you're going to find Me when you search for Me with all of your heart. That's what He's saying. And we're going to keep walking in our purpose. We're not going to let anything or anybody keep us from God. Nobody can keep you out of the will of God but you. You are the only one. Nobody can stop the will of God in your life. Isn't that that good news? And as you love him, see, love is all about the will of God. That's why it says, lawlessness will abound. That means disobedience to the will and the authority of God. But if you love God, you want to please him, right? And you want to do his will. And when we don't want to submit to authority, the word submit, it's taken from when they would break a horse. They would break a horse. In submission. And if no matter how high the horse could jump or how fast the horse could jump, if it hadn't been broken, that's what submission is. It's the word connected to the word broken. If it hadn't been broken, it had to stay in the barn. It couldn't go out in the battle. No matter how gifted it was, it couldn't be used in the battle. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. If we're not willing to submit to authority at times where we don't even like the person, then God can't use us in the battle. We got to be broken, folks. And when we're broken and we're willing to submit, because God has established all authority, God will use your gifts in a mighty way when you're willing to submit to the authority of God. Because when you submit to that authority, that's love. And you're loving God. And you're putting him first. Does this make sense? Do you see this? This is for somebody today. This is going to help you. So, we're going to fall in love with Jesus like we never have. And we're not going to let anything or anybody get in our way. If your spouse starts to act up, you say, come on with it. Come on with it. I'm going to love you anyway. Right? I tell you, we were out shopping, and this person walked right in front of me, and I just blessed her and just... I did. Love is not rude. Right? When you're rude, when we get rude and respond to people, when they're rude to us, you're showing them a distorted view of the cross. But when you show kindness, man, they take notice. One woman in Walmart the other day, she come darting up in front of me, and I just kind of stood back and just got real kind, and she says, well, why don't you get in front of me? I said, no, she goes, well, no, you come on. She started feeling guilty. Let's take this time of year and just really understand this principle of love. It's not like the world, right? It's all about God. And he's sovereign. Oh, man. He is sovereign. And he can because he can. Right? No other reason. Just because. Let's stand up. You bow your heads and we're going to have a word of prayer. And we're going to pray that this love just keeps filling us. Father God, right now we come to you, Father. You said that the eyes of the Lord, they search to and fro throughout the whole earth. Lord, we know that your eyes are looking right down in here on Russell Road Christian Center. I did a study on that word eyes one time, and it's though God is looking through a microscope into your heart. Lord, we see you peeking in our hearts, Lord. Lord, those places of bitterness, those places of resentment, those places of hatred, they must leave right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you begin to replace them right now with your love. We ask that your Holy Spirit would just begin to flow right now through this place. You said that your love is going to abound in our hearts. So, Father, we ask. And know that you've brought them here. And they're part of our purpose. Father, we thank you for that. That wisdom that's not from this world, but it's of your kingdom. Now, Father, deliver us today from our own ideas, our own ways, and help us to go your way, Father, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of Jesus, we ask all these things, and we trust you, Father. Right now, I'm just going to ask for a display of hands. If you've had somebody that you feel like the Lord has placed in your life that fits this description of Pharaoh, right now, I just want you to raise your hand. Yes. Yes, all of them. Okay, you can put your hands down. Father, teach us. Empower us, Lord. Anoint us to see them and hear them through our love for you, Father. And you're going to open our eyes to the things we haven't seen. And our ears are going to hear things, your voice, like we never have before. We love you, Father. Many waters cannot quench your love, and neither can the floods drown it. In Jesus' name, amen.